Hi, the Black Talk Media Project would like to invite you to become a member of the BTR Community subscription-based social media platform. BTR Community is a platform that was set up for the listening audience of Black Talk Radio Network, the number one independent Black radio network online. For just $24 per year, your subscription gives you access to an interactive space to share information with like-minded people with your privacy guaranteed. Your subscription will go a long way to help us maintain and improve our current media platforms. It will also help provide a budget so that we can begin the task of establishing localized media centers and radio stations across the United States. The best way to show your support and appreciation for what we do here at Black Talk Radio is to subscribe. Help us to help you be informed. Join BTRCommunity.com today.
The views and opinions expressed by callers, guests, and hosts do not necessarily reflect those of the Black Talk Radio Network and Black Talk Media Project. Black Talk Radio is new black media for the new millennium.
Would have had serious consequences for the world financial system, but may also have empowered the people of Africa, something black activists say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake.
Say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake.
Say the US wants to avoid at all costs. Gaddafi didn't give up. In the months leading up to the military intervention, he called on African and Muslim nations to join together to create this new currency that would rival the dollar and euro. They would sell oil and other resources around the world only for gold dinars. It's an idea that would shift the economic balance of the world. Countries' wealth would depend on how much gold they have, not how many dollars they trade. And Libya has 144 tons of gold.
Welcome, welcome everyone to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. I'm your host, Dave from LA, coming to you live from FEMA region number 6. Today is July the 5th, 2018. Sorry about that. Kind of got caught. I didn't know what year it was for a second. So it's 2018. Just want to say thank you all for listening to Tando Radio Show. We have a live show for you today. And looking forward to getting into today's show. At any time, if you would like to get in on the conversation, you can easily do that by giving us a call at 704-802-5056. 704-802-5056 is the call-in number, and we will see you in queue and we'll bring you up. So looking forward to doing that. So everyone, please continue to support Black Talk Radio Network and all the programs that are here on the network by making donations to this network from its website of www.blacktalkradionetwork.com. Hit the donation prompt that keeps the overall program on air. Very, very important that we do that. And also, it allows the programs to grow. We got a lot of growing to do. And so without your donations, without your support, this network won't be able to do that. So please, 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 if you value this network, if you value what is talked about, what you learn, what you contribute to this network, then make sure that you are definitely donating. Give whatever it is that you can. All donations are greatly appreciated, regardless of the monetary amount. It is very important that we support it, and just want to thank you all. Also, you can support the network by being a part of this social media platform known as BTR Community. And BTR Community is a social media platform where you can engage in social media activities without being adversely affected. Very easy to do. It is a place that your identity will never be sold or used for someone else's data mining by the overall cooperation of the network. Now, it could be stolen. All of that stuff is true, but it won't be giving and offered for sale. So please definitely do that in with a more holistic way. Okay, so also if you'd like to acquire real money, which you should be doing, and you could do that by going to Prosperity Mint. Prosperity Mint is full service precious metals dealership where you can acquire real money for exchange for your currency. Cash is not money. Even though you call it money, you've been hearing it your whole life as it being just called money. And you probably called it money. I've called it money for a very long time until I realized, and I realized that it's not money because it can't do what money can do. And so by calling it something that it's not, you're not putting yourself in a position of advantage. It's just like saying that some man is your savior, some celebrity figurehead, some actor, some athlete, or, you know, saying something that, you know, saying someone is actually your doctor when they could actually just be your accountant, and calling them your doctor and thinking that they can perform some things that a doctor would perform, you're putting yourself at a great, great disadvantage because it just can't do it. And that's what it is when you think that cash is money. It's never been money. Cash currency has never been money. It never can be money. Okay? Very, very, very important. So that is something that we need to really emphasize and understand. But you can exchange your currency for real money, and real money is one of the forms that I definitely suggest you all get into because of what's going on in the world and the direction that is not going to end. It is regardless if you're ready or not, if you're prepared or not, if you know it, if you don't know it, if you're aware of it or completely unaware, oblivious to it all. It doesn't matter. It is still going to happen because that is the overall willful direction of a significant group of people. And there is no counterbalance to that to make sure that that doesn't happen. So it is definitely happening and it's unfolding in a very systematic, coerced way that people aren't aware of because the system doesn't want you to be aware of it, and it is getting what it wants. And so you need to move your cash into real money as quickly as you can, and because you need to save it. Saving in cash is not a savings at all. I don't care what school of economics you went to, there's a fundamental truth. And that truth is, saving in cash, you're not saving in anything because it's not money. You're saving in a coupon. Yes, you have coupons, but those coupons lose its purchasing power. And so you're not saving. By holding currency, you're not saving anything. You're actually being a victim of inflation, and you're losing pace. No, that's not what everyone has taught you, from grandma to grandpa to the school teachers to your professors to your significance, your friends, and even what you taught yourself, the institutions. They either didn't know or they were lying. And most of the people that taught us those types of things, they didn't know. But a significant number of them were lying. They knew, but they didn't want you to do it. And it wasn't so much you as an individual, it was you as a collective species or movement or gathering of people. The system knew and has always lied to you. And the lies are their ways and means. Your way of life provides for their means of life. And that will not end until we start to admit it, quit it, and forget it. Admit how we're complicit in this whole system. We have to quit it. We have to stop doing it. Then we got to forget about it. Then we got to forget about it. So it can never, ever, ever be brought back up. So, very important. Get real money. Check out Prosperity Mint. Check out their, what's in inventory there. Then email info@ProsperityMint so someone can be in contact with you to explain the overall buying process. And that's the only thing that it will be done, explaining to you the buying process. Very, very important. You need to engage in that. So definitely do that. Okay? All right. So with that being said, let's get into, hold on 1 second, having a little, let's get into what's in the news. And I am away from, give me 1 second, I gotta adjust something real quick. At any time, if you'd like to get in on the conversation, don't hesitate, give us a call. 704-802-5056 is the call-in number. 704-802-5056 is the call-in number. Ready to engage and talk with you all. And think that's very, very important that we do that. So whatever your questions or comments are, please reach out to us. All right. Oh, another thing. Scotty, you there? Scotty may be running around and doing some things. There he is. Oops, nope.
Yeah, what's up, Dave?
Hey, Scotty, what's going on, man? Sorry about that. When you called in, man, dude, you just don't realize how right on time you called in. I said, I was just saying, 1 sec, Scotty will be right here. And you said, you ready, Dave? I was like, oh, man, you waiting on me. That timing was just, as soon as I said it, you came in. Hey, Scotty, I'm going to text you tomorrow about some scheduling stuff, okay?
Okay.
Okay. Thank you, brother. All right. So I'm going to jump into what's in the news. All right, first article we got from what's in the news. Thanks to my man, Carlos K. Thank you for sending this one. I never heard of this website, True Publicity. Haven't heard of this at all. So good site. Check this out. Carlos sent me this one. U.S. dollar sell-off continues as trade war intensifies. So check out that article. Been very, very great, great article. Definitely need to do that because that is definitely happening. We may take a look at that somewhat today too as well. Definitely need to do that. Next article I got from Reuters. U.S. softens North Korea approach as Pompidou prepares for more. Check out that article. And I think, excuse me, oh, sorry about that. That goes hand in hand. Next article. I think is very, very, very significant one. This one from Business Insider. Trump has repeatedly floated the idea of invading Venezuela to depose its leader by force. Venezuela is suffering from a rapidly deteriorating economy and weakening law and order. Beginning at the meeting last summer, U.S. celebrity figurehead President Donald Trump suggested addressing the crisis by mounting a U.S. invasion and deposing the celebrity figurehead Nicolas Maduro, according to the Associated Press. And take a look at some of that significant here, and I'm going to tell you, give you my spin on why that is and what's really happening. If you have some idea why that is, I would love to hear from you because very, very telling, and it's a signal to what's happening. Next article from Sputnik News. Iran may block oil transfers via the Strait of Hormuz if U.S. levies sanctions. Next article. Check out that, and definitely going to see that, especially when the war kicks off. Significant point that's going to be there, and that's going to hurt many here. Next article from AP News. Survey, U.S. employers adds 177,000 jobs in June. The American businesses added 177,000 workers in June, a sign of health and for the U.S. labor market and economy, according to a private survey. And I would just say a payroll process ADP said Thursday that the hiring was led by employers with more than 50 workers, accounting for 84% of the job growth. Let me tell y'all, yes, there will be some job growth, but I'm going to tell you something. Plenty of people will have jobs, there will be jobs, but they won't pay anything at all. So that's just the trend, and don't be fooled by that. The truth of the matter is saying something much, much greater than that. The danger is just thinking that jobs is going to solidify or solve anything. Well, being gainfully employed is different from just being employed. By being employed, it could actually have the overall servitude and subjugation strength even more. Think about our children. If parents have to work multiple jobs in long hours, who are raising the children? A whole lot more to what meets the eye. And it's deceiving. Okay, very, very important. But check that out. Next article from Sputnik News. China Commerce Ministers, U.S. tariffs to hit global supply chains. Asian Pacific, China's Commerce Minister said that the U.S. tariffs will affect international supply chains, including foreign enterprises in China, adding that Beijing does not want to take part in a trade war initiated by Washington. China will not surrender to the U.S. imported tariff pressures and is determined to protect free trade. And this, ladies and gentlemen, is the signal that here's what it really should say. U.S. tariffs will start a trade war that will actually affect global supply, turning it into a global war. That's really what is being mounted here. Next article from Press TV. EU, European Union Parliament supports plan for EIB's work with Iran. EIB is the European Investment Bank, because they want to work with the AIIB, Asian Infrastructure Investment Bank. Meaning they're not going to be dealing with any central banks from the U.S., which all central banks still are together, but this is still the overall path. Check out that article. Next article. This one is from Pacific Standard. Is Trump dragging America governance into the fourth regime? Whether we're ready or not. And I would just say, first it was the Third Reich of Nazi Germany. Here comes the Fourth Reich right here. So check out that article. Next article, got this one from Bloomberg. Oil importing countries need a cartel to challenge OPEC. And that's in very, very important one. Next one, in response to that, this one's new oil cartel threatens OPEC. There was a call for one. Now there is one. This is huge, ladies and gentlemen. And that is basically OPEC is really challenging, is really a matter of dismantling what the U.S. has put into a position to maintain the overall strength of the U.S. dollar, strength of the U.S. military, strength of the U.S. geopolitical influence, strength of the U.S. economy, strength of the U.S. war program around the world, where they can invoke war without any impediment from everyone. Well, that is over. And one of the key things is the overall sale of oil, which is the actual commodity that has the most revenue, actually the most sales is in oil of all the commodities. So tells you how it can really strengthen someone's economy to be able to manipulate that. And that's starting to end. Next article. It's not ending where it won't stop, but it's ending for the U.S. It's going to go to somewhere else. It's going to the east, ladies and gentlemen. It's going to the east. From the west to the east. It is setting in the west The economic sun is setting on the west and is rising in the east. So check out that article. Next article from Press TV. Iran says Trump oil ban to backfire on the U.S. Yes, very true. Next article, critical article. From RT International, Japan Prime Minister Abe canceled trip to Iran amidst U.S. pressure. A celebrity figurehead, Japanese Prime Minister Shuichi Abe is reportedly abandoning his plan to visit Iran later this month amidst increased pressure from Washington aimed at isolating Tehran's political and economically. Well, Japan knew that. But Japan needs something, ladies and gentlemen. This is the old war thing. Why would Japan be in Iran? Because Japan needs oil. If Japan had oil, Japan would have never, ever, ever been coerced into attacking the U.S. by way of embargo and then sanctions, which starved their overall economy out, which caused them to have to respond militarily, knowing that they would lose the war. But they had a choice: engage in the war and then take it from there, or starve to death. And so by this happening, shows they're going back to it, and they got a little reminder. But believe me, let me tell you something, a bully always loses strength, never gains it over a prolonged time. It's just a matter of it before the bully becomes the defeated. And that's what's happening here. Next article, Roz had this one from Survivorpedia, how to defend against a machete attack. Great, great article, Roz, my man. How to defend against a machete attack. And also, you should learn how to use one, too. Next, also, Survivorpedia, Roz said, use of force. When should you pull the trigger? And let me just say this real quick. Words are so, so powerful. Words are so powerful. The individual that wrote this, and I'm not knocking it, it's just, you know, people don't know. You never, ever, ever should pull a trigger. And pulling triggers means you miss your overall intended target. It's just like you pull a shot. If you're a golfer, if you pull it, if you push it, if you're a bowler, if you pull it, if you push it, if you you play ball and you can push. You never want to pull the trigger. That I know that's something that Hollywood, you know, and just from looking at things, thinking things work a certain way and not knowing. Pulling the trigger means you miss. You have to learn how to squeeze the trigger so that you can always have sight alignment, sight picture, and the projectile will at least go where you intended to go. Once you pull it, depending on how you pull, is where it's going to go. One of the things about shooting is that it's one of the most honest things, is an example of some honest things that you still can do in this world. Because the overall, how it all works with the geometry, depending on the overall gun and the overall shooter, everything has influence on that projectile, how it's made, what it's made of, everything. And so the science and the math behind it is true. So pulling the trigger is never, ever something you ever, ever want to do. You need to, please, learn how to properly utilize a firearm, because your life or one of your family members' lives may depend on it. So very, very important. Good article, though. Next article, Roz got this from Lying Like a Fox Business News. Germany willing to cut tariffs on U.S. cars, lifting automakers. Excuse me. Germany willing to cut tariffs on U.S. cars, lifting automakers' shares. Check out that article. Next article, Roz got this one from The Dark Reading. U.K. banks must produce backup plans for cyber attack. Yes, cyber attack is going to be huge going forward. It is going to be the weapon of choice and is going to be used against you. and you're being the intended target. So let's all prepare for that. Next article, Rise got this one from Well and Good. Here's exactly how to make ginger oil. The magical pain reliever. So check out that. Definitely want to do that. And Rise, next article Rise posted, and this was from Scientific America. Satellite images hint North Korea won't disarm anytime soon. Check out that article, and I say that they never will. Why would they? They're unifying. They have their economics in place, and that's what they need. So that's what's in the news. If you'd like to get in on the conversation at any time, give us a call, 704-802-5056, 704-802-5056. We're going to jump into today's show, and today's show is Working Together Will Be of Critical Importance in a Crucial Direction. So this is for you all. I think it's going to be very, very important that we work together in a crucial direction, and that goes for you with your family, your friends, the people around you. Start to establish those alliances so that when called upon, they will be healthy, productive relationships that can actually solve problems, because that is going to be very, very important going forward. So that's going to be today's show. But before we get into that, and then what I want to do is a couple of things that's what's in the news. I want to take a look at the Business Insider, and this is why working, and it has everything to do with working together as well. So I want to pull up the article real quickly. Want to pull up the article. Trump reported wanted to invade Venezuela, asked leaders about it in 2018. So I wanted to just take a look at this from Business Insider. Trump has repeatedly floated the idea of invading Venezuela to depose his leader by force. And that in itself is a crime. And not since, you know, just I want to just give you a little historical thing. It's not since when the U.S. involved in the coup of Chile, but they've actually been involved in so many coups and everything else. They just do it underhandedly. This is significant because it's something that, in my opinion, is definitely still on the table, and they're still going to do it. Because as the global geopolitical atmosphere continues to evolve into the different storms, the U.S. will be in this, you know, the U.S. is definitely in the same predicament, and it has the same characteristics as, in so many ways, as Germany did before it finally had elected Adolf Hitler, and the overall Nazi cult took over Germany. They just couldn't do it when they right away. It took time for them to do it. And it took a lot of time for them to do it, and then because they had the full blessings and had the full support of some of the major institutions that wanted to maintain control over people, the Roman Catholic Church, the U.S. government, and other governments as well. The banking sector. And these are all things that you can research on your own, and you can draw your own conclusion if they resonate with some truth or not. Are there some lies within it? Oh, absolutely. Is there manipulation within it? Absolutely. But this is, to me, the same, some of the same objectives, and they're going to have different methods to get to it. So here's the article. Venezuela, here it goes. It's from Business Insider. Venezuela is suffering from a rapidly deteriorating economy and weakening laws and order. Beginning at a meeting last summer, U.S. celebrity figurehead President Donald Trump suggested addressing the crisis by mounting a U.S. invasion and deposing celebrity figurehead President Nicolas Maduro. according to the Associated Press. Sources told the AP that Trump's aide told him an invasion was a terrible idea. And I would say it was more than just a terrible idea, it's illegal. But that Trump persisted and even floated the idea with nearby countries. That bullish rhetoric caused, that bullish rhetoric could be used to bolster Maduro's standing at home. Move this down, sorry. Okay, so now, article continues. Well, before we do that, with the neighboring countries, who do you think the neighboring countries was? It was Colombia. Pretty much sure. Don't know what Colombia said, but I'm pretty sure Colombia knows what's going on in the world. And from that, this is just what's been reported. I'm not saying this is true one way or another, but this is just what's been reported. We could come with some of our own ideas from this whole thing. Is that the neighboring country said no. No, no, no. But believe me, it's being worked on. It's being done. And I'm going to tell you one of the reasons why it's being done is that those neighboring countries, some of them probably even said yes behind closed doors. Because what was presented to them was this.
Okay, appears we lost Dave. I don't know how long he's been gone. I just came back in. Let me see if I can get him back on the board. Give me just a second while I do that. Dave.
Yeah, I'm there. Sorry about that, Scott. I don't know what happened. It just went out. Let me see. Let me pick back up. Scotty, did you hear where we went out? Let me get back into the...
Actually, no, I didn't.
One second. Okay. Yeah, I don't know. One second. Real quickly. Let me see. Let me get back into it, and we'll pick back up. Let me just see. One second. Sorry about that, you all. Got kicked off. During the middle of the show. So let me just get situated here and get in the chat room. And let's see who's there. OG, let me see. Let me see. About 3 minutes. Okay. All right, cool. And so I'm not quite sure what the last thing you all heard. So if anyone... Otis, if you're in the chat room, what was the last thing you remember hearing? Then I'll know where I can pick back up from. Sorry about that, you all. This happens from time to time. Sometimes it gets cut off. So let me see. Let me see who else is there. Anyone in the chat room that's there, if you could just let me know where was the last thing that you heard that would help me out so I can get back to it. Else I'll just take it back from the top. All right, well, I'm going to give my man Otis a second. Maybe he can let me know. All right, so if you'd like to get in on the conversation, give us a call, 704-802-5056. And if you're there in queue, give us a call. Yeah, okay, got you. All right, so what I'm going to do is I'm just going to pick up where we were reading. I'll just start all over again. We were reading from the article from Business Insider about Venezuela, how celebrity figurehead Trump has reportedly floated the idea of invading Venezuela to depose his leader by force. So we're going to go over this real quick. So it says Venezuela is suffering from a rapidly deteriorating economy and weakening law and order. Beginning at a meeting last summer, the U.S. celebrity figurehead President Donald Trump suggested addressing the crisis by mounting a U.S. invasion and deposing celebrity figurehead President Nicolas Maduro, according to the Associated Press. Sources told the AP that Trump's aide told him an invasion was a terrible idea, which is also illegal, but that Trump persisted and even floated the idea with nearby countries. And those nearby countries, I'm pretty sure the number one was Colombia, because Colombia and Venezuela don't get along. So that bullish rhetoric could be used to bolster Maduro standing at home. President Trump reportedly floated the idea of invading Venezuela to both senior administrative officials and world leaders multiple times in the past. Who do you think the world leaders were? I think it was also some of the leaders that are friendly and allies of the U.S., and I wouldn't be surprised, definitely floated it with Israel. Floated it with, and I'm just speculating, I'm not saying, Japan, floated it with India, floated it with other countries, Britain, and probably one other significant one. Probably those nations. I'm not saying that was it, but I'm pretty sure definitely you can almost guess that it was definitely shared with Israel and Colombia for sure. And the reason being is because that's some of the only allies really that's happening. And this is why you're starting to see countries separate themselves at a rapid pace from the U.S., but they're doing it subtly because they know what's on the agenda. Imagine getting that call. Hey, I'm thinking about invading Venezuela. What do you think about that? I don't think that's a good idea. Why would you do that? Yeah, nah, don't do that. That's not necessary. You hang up the phone, you say, yo, this dude is nuts. Call China. Get China on the line. Get the BRIC nations on the line. Let them know that, yeah, you know what? I think we will like to attend that meeting and be a part of the BRIC nations. Think we would like to do business with you all. Think we would like to, because you know where everything else is going. Then not only that, they called the other countries that was involved in, I'm just saying, you know, from a minion level, they probably called other countries, and then Colombia probably made calls too. Hey, China, check this out. I'm going to keep my ground, just like Mexico had did, in my opinion. After celebrity figurehead Trump called them and tried to chew them out about NAFTA and the wall, first after that conversation was over, or even before that conversation started, they were already on the line with China and said, well, let's create, let's do a joint venture. Let's have some cooperation here. We have what you need and you have what I need. I wouldn't be surprised if Colombia called China and said, hey, so we know that you're friendly with Venezuela, and we just want to, we can see what's going on in the world, and so how can we assist you? You know what China says? We knew you would be calling. We knew you would be calling because some people are pushing the world in a bad direction, and they're going to lose, and they should lose alone. So this is just my estimation, not saying that this definitely went on, but let's go on in the article. According to the Associated Press, Trump first proposed taking over the country to top aides at an August 10th meeting held in the Oval Office to discuss U.S. sanctions on the country, talking about Venezuela. And that, I remember that, and then on August the 10th, I said, yo, they talking about invading Venezuela. Handwriting was on the wall. It was typical of what happened in the past. And what happened in the past is that this is pretty much the same climate and conditions that the Third Reich of Nazi Germany was under in their overall decisions to move into initiating a war, because they felt the squeeze coming. And why Venezuela? Because Venezuela is an OPEC, one of the largest OPEC producing nations of oil. In order for the U.S. to even have a chance to be able to withstand this overall global war, it's going to need oil. And it's going to need oil from a strategic standpoint. And Venezuela is the largest and closest. And this is why that target is still there. This is they're telling you before they do it. The previously undisclosed... Oh, no, I messed up. Let me go back up. The backdrop was South America's nation's rapidly deteriorating economy and the perilous state of law and order there. The previous undisclosed meeting, of which the White House had declined to comment, was anonymously revealed by a senior administration official speaking with the AP, and by two high-ranking Colombian officials familiar with the meeting where Trump raised the idea. Now, why would Colombia do this? Colombia is signaling to China and to the U.S. that it's no longer an ally. Doesn't want to get caught up in this. More and more, all of the U.S. allies are going to be running away. But they're not running away to stay away. They're running away to get into position to defend themselves and to defend the overall global movement of purging the U.S. out. and by two high-ranking Colombian officials familiar with the meeting where Trump raised the idea. When asked for a comment, the National Security Council spokesman told the AP that all the options would be considered to restore stability or democracy in Venezuela. That means to restore stability, and democracy means invasion, y'all. Don't let them fool you. Because to restore that, that means they got to take the current ideology out of the country. Trump's suggestion reportedly stunned people at one of the meetings, including Rex Tillerson, gone, and H.R. McMaster's gone, and then the Secretary of the State and the National Security Advisor. The AP said, and maybe that could be some of the reasons why they're gone from just the overall standpoint of the theater of war and everything else, to make it look good. The AP said that those in the room, including... Oh, I read that one already. Oh, no, I didn't. The AP said that those in the room, including McMaster, then spent 5 minutes taking turns warning Trump how military actions could backfire and lose him support among other Latin American governments. Well, it wouldn't just be Latin American governments. It would be the whole world, except for Israel. Despite his aide's warning, Trump reportedly continued to talk of a military option to remove Nicolas Maduro as Venezuela's president. See, when your empire starts to unravel, everything that you do, you speak about it bluntly. At a private dinner meeting held around the UN General Assembly meeting in New York a month later, the AP said Trump proceeded to ask leaders of four Latin American countries whether they would accept military actions. The only one of the leaders named by the AP was Colombian president. Because that's obvious. That's the obvious one, because Venezuela and Colombia shoot at each other on their borders. But right now, Colombia is allowing people to leave Venezuela and to come into Colombia for shopping and things of that nature. But governmentally, they've been fighting for a long time. But Colombia is not stupid. Colombia knows, and I bet they did this, because I don't know if you all heard before we got knocked off, that as soon as they got that call, the first thing they did was picked up the line and said, hey, go hang up the line when they called them with that invasion stuff. Picked up the line and said, call China right now. Let's strike a deal with China, because this thing is going to go bad. And we don't want to be on the losing end. China, what do you need? This is what we can offer. This is what we would like to do. We want to go in a different direction that's more sustainable. China knew what that meant. China said, just like they did with Mexico, Panama, and other countries, Venezuela, we're open for business. Mind you, China has said, those that actually do business with the U.S. and has actually paid U.S. dollars, China's in the new economy that they will establish by way of backing currencies with real money, silver and gold, you won't be able to use the U.S. dollar in any trade. And who trades with China? Everybody does. Goes on. Trump reportedly prefaced the conversation with the leaders with the phrase, my staff told me not to say this. He then went around the table to ask leaders whether they would... Let me move this down. Oops. He then went around the table to ask leaders whether they were concerned they didn't want the U.S. to invade Venezuela, to which each leader said clearly they were, the AP reported. All the leaders like, man, we don't want to have no part of this. He goes around the table and asking these people. And they were like, yes, we got a problem here. You can't do this. Can't do this. So the article goes on. Venezuela's inflation rose by 41,000% last month, making almost all goods unaffordable. And that is going to happen here, ladies and gentlemen. I'm going to explain a little bit about that and why partnership and working together is so important. The UN Human Rights Office declared a breakdown of law and order in the country. Now, why do you think that's happening? Who would be perpetuating that even more? Who would want to have the overall immigration migrant move out of Venezuela? The one that wants to invade it. And then what they'll do, they'll burden the overall surrounding countries to say, yes, we need to stop this. So these people go home or whatever. 41,000% inflation rose by 41,000%. I have a chart. I want to use this chart real quickly to give you an idea of how much Venezuelan inflation has gone up. So you'll know, because what's happening in Venezuela is going to happen here, but Venezuela is just going to look like, you know, that someone just lost $5. It's going to be huge. But the article goes on. Venezuela's inflation rose by 41,000% last month, making almost all goods unaffordable. And the UN Human Rights Office declared a breakdown of law and order in the country. Now, is the U.S. any part of the UN's Human Rights Office anymore? No, they quit. So now this is what you do when you quit. You just start going around invading places. That's why they quit. The real right reason why they quit, because they couldn't get any support for what they wanted to do, so they're going to quit. Now they're just going to forcefully do it, and that's going to just expedite the overall demise of the empire. But they know that, and that's what they want to do. The minions don't know that, but the minions are being arrogantly and pridefully upheld and coerced into thinking in a paradigm that's untrue, that there's such thing as a left right and a blue red, a conservative and Democrat, a left and a right paradigm. That's all dividing lines, so that those that can control can do it anonymously. Citing reports, before we get ready to go to the commercial break, citing reports that the security forces had killed hundreds of anti-government demonstrators while protecting some suspects of crimes activities for prosecution. Venezuelans have also been fleeing the country into Brazil, Colombia, Chile, the U.S., and Spain. I wouldn't be surprised if some of the countries that were asked if they would support it. They won't ask Brazil. They ask Colombia, Peru, Bolivia, and Chile, in my estimation. Trump also said publicly in August that a military option was not out of the question for dealing with Venezuelan crisis. But details of the president's seriousness about the issue had not been reported until Wednesday, yesterday. His administration levied new sanctions on a dozen of Venezuelan officials, including Maduro, in May. Oops. See if I can. My page died. See if I can pull it back up. Sorry, you all. Trump's bullish stand against Venezuela could actually bolster Maduro's standing at home. However, as Maduro supporters have long lamented Washington's involvement in the domestic affairs and used anti-American sentiments to unite against his opposition, Maduro's son named Nicolas said last year, "Mind your own business and solve your own problems, Mr. Trump." And this is the overall direction that is happening. And we need to know, because this is what's the classic example of what it is. It's history replaying itself. And it is the history of Germany having very few allies and starting and getting involved in the overall war. But most people don't know why Germany really did get into the war, because they were actually being threatened and actually coerced to get into that war because of the pressures of multiple sides and because of the overall conditions of the economy within the country. That same thing will be used again. So listen, we're getting ready to go to a commercial break. When we come back, I want to just talk about, it's a couple of things I want to talk about. This, their inflation. Want to give me 2 seconds, give me about 2 minutes, Scotty, to find, I got to find something real quick. The significance of Venezuelans 41,000% increase. And why that's so significant, because it's going to happen here at greater sums than that. You really need to grasp yourself around the numbers. Then working together, why that's so important, and how to start doing that now. Very, very important. Listen, listening to Tando Radio Show. Scotty, give me about 3 minutes so I can find something really quick. We listen to Tando Radio Show. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, give us a call, 704-802-5056. We'll be right back after this quick commercial break. Okay, Scotty, whenever you're ready, I'm ready.
No, I'm not a writer.
Okay.
Black Talk Radio, since 2008, providing new black media for the masses.
Okay, welcome back, everyone, to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. I'm your host, Dave from L.A. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, give us a call, 704-802-5056, 704-802-5056. And I can't see the board, so if you have a question and comment, just definitely say, excuse me, we'll definitely let you in. And we're talking about coming together, talking about the importance of working together. Because it's going to be critical and crucial in the direction that your overall relationships go with the people that you work with. And that is going to be very, very important, and we need to give a lot of energy to that. And so we were talking about how Trump wanted to, and is going to, the U.S. is going to, in my opinion, invade Venezuela. They tell you before they do it, and it's definitely going to, they're going to continue to create that overall direction, and they're going to do it. And so, and it's very significant because this is a pretty much the same thing that Germany had to do. And so they had to invade Poland. They had to invade Poland because of oil reserves. And they were going to try to get into Russia, and Britain wanted to use Germany as a buffer between the Russians, because they all knew that they were going to go to war at some time, but they wanted to create buffers as much as they can. And Germany knew that it had problems, and the problems that it had an oil problem. This is why when Germany invaded and they took France by surprise and took them completely with no resistance at all, the first thing that they did was they started seizing assets to maintain the overall war machine. And that's why the Poland was significant. History repeating itself. The U.S. has lost influence throughout the world, and it has bases throughout the world. Venezuela is one of the largest OPEC producing oil countries in the world. I mean, of OPEC, and they're the closest OPEC nation. That's within reaching a grab of the U.S. military. And then once you take that, then what you can do is do what? Seize their oil. And what did that oil will allow you to do? To allow you to fund and to actually fuel your war. Because I don't care how strong your military is. If it don't have no gas, it don't go. It don't go. And is losing influence in the Middle East, in Iraq itself. So they can't depend on Iraqi oil. And the war that they're going to be engaging in, they got bases all over, they're going to need to be able to use oil to maintain that. So what's the number one target? Venezuela is the number one target. And it's not just the number one target from their economic standpoint. Their economy was actually, in my opinion, was attacked to be put into the position that it's in so that they could invade it. Notice the reasons that they're using to invade. Loss of law and order. What does that mean? They're going to have clandestine operations to destabilize that. The economy, what are they going to do? They're going to purposely and continuously attack their economy. And let me give you a little clue of what the inflation is in Venezuela now. And it's really significant because it is an idea of what's going to happen here, but with much greater effect. In Venezuela, looking at a chart, I'll post it later on. Let me just hit you with this real talk. Venezuela is on the throes of a major currency crisis. No, they've been on a major currency crisis because it's being perpetuated. According to Venezuela's National Assembly, inflation has hit 2,616% last year. That means prices, everyday goods and services in Venezuela got around 27 times more expensive in just 12 months. This year, the situation has only worsened. In fact, inflation in Venezuela is reportedly now to be as high as 24,600%. Now you're seeing where it's at 41,000%. That's astronomical, but even that might be an understatement of how bad things are in Venezuela. To understand why, looking at the chart below, it shows what, and it's from Bloomberg, Venezuela Cafe Index has done over the past 2 years. The index measures the cost of a cup of coffee in Caracas, Venezuela's biggest city. Okay, so now, in 2 years, a cup of coffee was under, in July 2017, a cup of coffee was running right around 100,000 of their currencies. Then by May 1 year later, May of 2018, it jumped up over 200,000. Now, right now, it's above 1 million for one cup of coffee. 1 million of their boulevards. It takes 1 million boulevards, and it's probably now even greater than that. It's probably 2 million boulevards now for a cup of coffee. Just think about that for a minute. They're not getting paid anymore. Or if they're getting paid anymore, it doesn't matter. It still doesn't keep up with inflation. But it costs $2 million to buy a cup of coffee. How is that going to work here? Well, everyone will go from, you know, you'll get paid more, $100,000. That would be minimum wage. But it will cost $7-8 million for a Starbucks coffee, to where Starbucks will leave the United States and won't even sell here. Why? Because they won't send their overall resources here to sell here, because their overall business is not survivable here. They'll ship their coffee, their everything else to other countries and get paid in their currency. So not only is services, not only are you going to pay a whole lot more, but the services will not be available, because who would want to do business here? And that's critical. So we got a caller in queue. I want to go to the caller, and then we'll get back to it. Caller out of New York, welcome to Tando Radio Show. What is your name, and what is your question or comment?
Peace. This is Jay from Brooklyn. Thank you for taking
my call.
What's
up, brother? Welcome to Tando, brother.
Thank you, man. First time caller, so I'm just gathering information. But
yes, sir.
Really, thank you for the platform. It's good info. And two questions, really. One is, like, as far as non-white people, black people, what do you think as far as our resources outside of the U.S.? I mean, being able to navigate, circumnavigate, and deal with other countries, being aware fully of how we've been oppressed, knowing that we're, even though we're an intricate part of the country, many of us are trying not to be a part of this mm-hmm. whole regime, so to speak. Mm-hmm. And the second one being, basically, as far as communities, like, even like for myself here in Brooklyn, I'm sure you know, Brooklyn is like one of the heaviest populated black areas on the East Coast.
Yes.
We do have some communities. Some neighborhoods in Brooklyn where brothers are really trying to do things as far as, set up homeschooling, doing other things. Based on the information you're telling me now, what do you think else they should actually try to do, you know? And, I'll mute my line.
Brother Jay, thank you for calling. Great, great questions. Looking forward to hearing from you in the future. And you know, for your first question, for countries, how they will respond to the black community here. Well, in my opinion, I'm not saying this is just my opinion, not saying this is right. In destabilizing a country, one of the things that is, you definitely will see, there will be a destabilization in the military by other countries abroad, and they will also destabilize from within the country. I think that you're going to see a lot of influence from other countries, particularly, and they will be using it particularly within our community and other communities, because that destabilizes their engagement with a military opponent. So the wise thing is to do is to destroy the base. One of the most powerful things about the U.S. military is this. Unlike other countries where most of their citizens are a part of the culture, depending on how big their country is. Most of their citizens are pretty much of the same culture. They have pretty much the same abilities. What I mean by that, they're the same size, same genetic makeup, same illnesses and things of that nature. So they're very kind of easy to deal with. One of the things about the U.S. military that makes it so significantly powerful is just how diverse it is. And that diversity allows it to be extremely powerful because not everyone is exposed to the exact same thing. Not everyone has the same capabilities. Not everyone has the same family lineage and things of that nature. So you have a broad scale of talent. And so how do you, as a military, how do you face that? Well, the first thing that you do is you try to weaken it. And you try to weaken it first psychologically. So that overall psychological weakening is going to happen in the military, and it's definitely going to happen in the continental United States as well. There's going to be influence of money and currency that will come into the different communities to destabilize. There's going to be organizations, and it's all going to be a part of covert operations. China has admitted that they are going to fund the U.S. enemies. So that means that they're also going to create, and they're going to ensure the ones that are already there, they're going to fund them. But they were talking about it from within the country. I wish I still remember where that article was, but we read it here on air a while back ago. So yes, there is going to be a lot of clandestine operations. And in my opinion, some are actually going to be U.S. doing the exact same thing because they want to perpetuate the overall, that agenda. So this is why it's so important that you align with people beforehand. And then Jay's other part of the question was, what should some organizations here in the States, you know, such as homeschooling, what they should be doing? Without a doubt, I say this emphatically, we have to prioritize the threats that are going to be facing us individually, our families, and our community. And one of the greatest threats is that the overall standard of living and quality of life, regardless of how bleak it is right now, is not going to be threatened. It is going to be decimated. And when that takes you off, when they change that, the overall ability and the stress from that can be to where you will be vulnerable to everything that's malevolent. Every single thing. So one of the number one things, you have to prepare for the collapse of the economic structure of the everyday person here in the country. That is priority number one. Because without that, you will not be able to sit back, look at what's happening, and make the best choice for your next moves absent of emotion. An emotional decision is always the worst decision that you can ever make. It's always. Should you not be emotional about things? No, absolutely. But emotion should never be a part of your decision making. Never. It's too unstable. Too unstable. Okay. So the number one priority should be that we should prepare for the thing that is going to be the most prevailing threat. And that is the total annihilation of our standard of living and quality of life. So I would say that everyone needs to prepare for the dollar no longer having any purchasing power. Because once it doesn't have any purchasing power, in Venezuela it costs 2 million bolivars to buy a cup of coffee. How is that going to look in our community, and how is it going to look in the general U.S. community and standard of living, quality of life, when One Starbucks, even before Starbucks leaves, Starbucks coffee may cost $7 million. But it's not just the coffee, but it's everything else. It's not that coffee is going up. The coffee is not going up. That's a misnomer. The coffee is still coffee. The milk is still milk. It's just that now you can't just give a $10 or $5 for that. You have to weigh 200, 300, 400 pounds of currency to get that. It's not that the milk has changed. There ain't no more milk in it. There's no less milk in it. There's no more coffee in it. There's no more cocoa in it. It's the currency is now lost its purchasing power. You got to give more currency. More currency that the world is no longer accepting, so it has no legal standing. It has no stability. So, Jay, I would say that's the number one thing that is threatening us. And all these other things, that the number one priority is preparing so that when this collapses, that your dinner table won't collapse with it. Because if your dinner table goes, how can you teach anything to the starving? How can you teach anything to the hungry? That overall emotional stress is going to be so great. So, Jay, that's what I would say. Brother, I hope gave you some insight. That's my opinion of things. It doesn't make it right. But by looking at what's going on in the world, we've been pretty consistent on things that give the heads up way before they happen. So that's just what I definitely see is the number one priority is us becoming self-reliant, self-sufficient, and breaking ourselves from this system. Because this system, this economy is going to collapse. The common person's economy is already collapsed. It's just going to continue to go down that overall unstable path. So great questions, bro. Hope to hear from you again.
Thank you very much, man. I greatly appreciate it. And I'll be in contact. You'll hear from me more often, man.
Yes, sir. Definitely. Great question, bro. Always love to hear from some of our listeners. So, okay, next. So we're going to go into and because of this, it was talking about Germany, and so the U.S. is definitely going to invade Venezuela and try to seize the overall oil. But Venezuela knows it, China knows it, Russia knows it, all of the BRIC nations know it. Brazil knows it, and Brazil knows that they're going to have to interject because they're so close, or they border with Venezuela, that they can't allow that to happen because they know that their overall resources will be next. But Brazil is such a large country, but they know that that's going to be on the table because that oil that's going to be used there is going to be used against them as well. Brazil is part of the BRIC nations. It's the B in BRIC nations. So this whole thing is definitely moving to that overall war paradigm. So what does that mean for you and I here? That means for you and I here, there should be a quiet alliance that circumvents everything, and the objective is, the priority is to survive. And not only survive, it's to survive the initial onslaught, then to thrive and prosper after the initial onslaught. Even in war, and there's different phases of it. The overall buildup, the staging, the conflict, and then the chaos after the conflict. And the thing is that the crisis stage is what we have to first initially get through. Now, that crisis stage, depending on how big it is and what it is, could last from two weeks to 2 years. And I'm thinking that the crisis stage that we're going to be looking at here that overall crisis stage that we have to get through is possibly going to last 6-7 months to a year. And then after that, then it's the conflict. Once you made it through the crisis, the overall, and this is just the truth, from wars of everything else, the wars depopulate the planet. They definitely depopulate the planet, and that's the overall objective of it. Then after that, then comes the conflict. And once you move into the conflict phase, for those of you that prepare, the initial crisis is going to be very difficult. But if you prepare for it, you can get through it because you have the momentum of being sustainable. You want to create as much sustainability as you possibly can. Okay, and then protect that sustainability. Then after that comes around, what is going to happen as the crisis starts to evolve and people get used to the crisis, as hard as it is, people are going to start to figure out ways to get around it and to navigate their way through it. Once that starts happening, by you being prepared, you'll be in a position to seize on opportunities and, more importantly, create them. But now this is not going to be something that you're not going to have to be extremely cautious and careful when doing, of course. You're always going to have to proceed with great caution. But still, because you're prepared, you're in a position of advantage. When other people aren't prepared, they're going to try to be acquiring which you already knew you were going to need. And there's only a finite amount of resources, and specifically the staple resources that's needed. And you'll have them. So what does that allow you to do? That gives you the overall advantage. One, you still got to protect it, but it gives you the overall advantage to create something other than what you already have. And that will actually put you in a position to receive more staple goods and to create a measure of economic sustainability in the black market. Which one thing that the system can never, ever destroy, it tries to infiltrate it, and it will infiltrate it, but a black market goes up no matter where you are in the world. When things become unstable, the black market always becomes the solution. Or it actually causes for the black market to position itself. And it will here. It's positioned itself in Venezuela. There are people that are doing very well in Venezuela. Unfortunately, the people that aren't doing well, it's because it was actually manipulated and created for that to happen. When we all could do well. So, creating alliances from the people you know, the people you trust, now is a critical time to build that. Because if you build that, believe me, as soon as thing goes awry, you will look upon each other with, thank goodness we did. And you're going to look at it from a standpoint of, okay, here's what we need to do. And I think that in establishing alliances, you're going to have to be as mature as you possibly can be. I would say, don't do what this system has taught us. How many times have we heard where people, and we know the truth, people look at an opportunity to get over on somebody else as long as I get mine. They will actually drown someone else just to ensure that they don't do good, and knowing that is all the system. They don't care. They can't beat the system, so they take their frustration out on anybody that they can lash out at. And anything that's doing well, They will sabotage. Well, hopefully we can mature out of that, because those that won't is going to find themselves in the ocean swells without any life raft. The overall crisis is going to drown them. And so what we've been taught and how we've been engaging in relationships with each other, and we've been doing it for a long, long time, we're really used to exploiting, even to the point, and it's just, you all know how bad it is, where you can never come together. Well, for those of you that are able to resonate with people that you can come together with in a very mature fashion, that is able to see past the deception, you're going to do absolutely well. Those that aren't able to do that, you're not. Because once one person has the will to destroy, it's going to be just like a cancer, and it's just going to go off in all directions. And you need to find those individuals before. You need to find the individuals that you can have collective prudence with, that you resonate with, before things go awry. Because when things go awry, no matter if you're prepared or not prepared, it's going to be difficult. But the strength of resolve and character can get you through. So, getting ready to go to a commercial break. When we come back, we want to talk about this a little bit further, and just to give you some ideas of whom you should be working with. And it doesn't matter, I always say this, never be a respecter of person. Doesn't matter who the person is. Respect people. Meaning, don't get blinded. Don't have criterias that are very, very immature. Let your overall character benchmark be actually a part of the spirit of the law and not the letter of the law. You're listening to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. We'll be right back after this quick commercial break.
To the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts and live program scheduling, visit us on the web at blacktalkradionetwork.com.
Okay, welcome back, everyone, to Tando Radio Show. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, give us a call, 704-802-5056, 704-802-5056. So, we're talking about, it's going to be critical to work together in a crucial direction. In my opinion, the crucial direction should be not to exploit others, but actually to create the overall paradigm of sustainability through collective prudence. Because if we do the overall exploit, where you want to exploit people, then you are just doing, you've just become what you had to endure, and you're just doing what you knew was wrong, but you have become the wronger. You have become the one that will perpetuate the wrong. That's what the system wants. That's how it's able to gain so much momentum. We're going to have to think completely absent of everything that we've been taught and everything that has invoked our emotions of anger. Now, am I saying not to get angry and everything else? No, but I think that fueling, using that overall energy, because that energy is extremely destructive, if not skillfully tamed. That overall energy should be used in a very constructive way. In a very constructive way. Identify individuals that you can work with first by their overall character. And it's probably better for you to do it with people that you already know, because you've seen them go through some hard times and how did they respond to some things. But that's not always going to be the absolute, but it gives you some idea. If you know someone that was able to have the appropriate temperament and discipline through some hard times, then that person chooses to respond to things that way. And they'll probably be more likely to choose that type of approach when things go awry here. If you're not that type of person, maybe you should try to be that type of person. I don't know. Or you could be a destructive person. There are some people in the prepping world that says, I'm not going to prepare. All I'm going to do is prepare to take. That's their preparation. That is going to, some people are going to do well with that for a while. And believe me, the system of subjugation and enslavement is proud of what they've created, that minion and child that they've created. But that's not sustainable. That's temporary, completely temporary. And the system doesn't care for you, and they're going to manipulate, and the system is going to use you as well. You can't. There's no escape from this cancer, other than to strengthen your immune to it, to where it doesn't affect your thinking. It doesn't affect your reaction to things. So look at people from what you've known from over a long period of time, how they responded to things. But don't believe me. Some people, when you're not prepared, I'm going to tell you, when people lose it, they lose it. I've seen people lose it. And when they lose it, it's gone. So you have to be able to discern things continuously. Start now. Start role playing with people. Some of your close friends or family members that you're going to be relying upon. Ask them, think how we should handle this, how we should handle that. See what they say. Develop a plan, a strategy from that. But the direction is going to be crucial. What is your direction going to be? Your direction should always be to build something from the spirit of the law that can be repeated for the beneficial good of not just you and your family, but from all around you. Because if we continue to allow this system to build what is sustainably good to their family, we're going to continue to be in this same state that we're in today forevermore. It's how it's got here, and it's how it's embedded itself so innately into our overall DNA of relationships. It has to be broken. That cycle has to be broken. Your direction. You have to look at where you are, and not only where you are physically, but mentally and spiritually. And we all have to do this and say, okay, now that this unfavorable crisis is upon us, it gives us an opportunity to really erase the whole system from us now, from me individually and from us collectively, and then deciding on what that direction is that you're going to go. Are you going to develop business relationships that are going to be profitable, not only for you, but for others as well? Because that's what it's going to really take to be able to really navigate the pain, because people are going to be so hurt when this dollar collapses. They're going to be so confused. There are many who are going to be wandering. You know, there will be individuals that had a lot of responsibility at major corporations, doctors, dentists, all types of people. But if they put their overall, all of their energy into the system itself, once that is unplugged, they may be so empty that they are not able to adjust to the lights not being on anymore. And believe me, it's going to take you're going to have to get adapted to it. But also, some people live by their personship. They were this, they did this, and then now that's gone, and who are they? I don't know. This is all I ever gave energy to, and because that's all I've ever gave energy to, you're going to hear that this is all I've ever known. You're going to have to be pretty savvy. You're going to have to be able to withstand and be multifaceted. You're going to have a will to survive. But more than just a will to survive, the will to survive is always going to keep you in the fight. The will to prosper is always going to keep you in the overall energy and mentality of building. See, it sounds good, the will to survive. But the system wants you to think that way, because it keeps you in their fight. The will to prosper is a different energy. In that direction, and that commitment is much stronger and much greater than just the will to survive. The will to survive is innate. The will to prosper is a choice. Yes, the will to survive can be a choice as well. But that's the basics. That's the entry level. Everyone either does or doesn't have that one. But with the will to survive, you have to build on the will to survive, and you have to build on the will to survive to prosper. And there's a big difference. There's a huge difference. Because in prospering, you can build something that is more sustainable. And then with the help of others, that overall momentum can actually grow into a paradigm. That's how this system of subjugation grew to be what it is today. And we can all see the effects and the influence of that in our daily lives. In our daily lives. So what it is that we can create? What it is that we can create collectively is really the difference between self-preservation, self-sustainability, sovereignty, and subjugation. Because if we continue to just do what to make it through this crisis and not have an overall direction to prosper, that means that we'll make it through the crisis, and the overall crisis creator will have another crisis on the way. Another one coming. Another one upon us. And it will continue generation after generation. Somebody has to solve this puzzle, this enigma. And it's very easy to solve. You can't think like, you can't desire. You can't have the same temptations. You can't have the same needs. You definitely can't have the same wants. you can't have the same energy. And make no excuse. If you have the same energy, it's not them that's the problem, it's you. Because they've already dispersed their energy. And their dispersion of energy has now affected you to where you are responding to that energy in likeness. Our direction is critical. So you know the people around you that you need to be speaking to about preparing. But more than just preparing, because preparing is just for the crisis. But you preparing will also position you to create the prosperity. And it's so important that we get back the prosperity that was lost. And the only way that that can actually be momentumized is by you and others like you that have made the overall commitment to one another, but more importantly, made the commitment to the generations you're investing in, the generations that you have yet not named, by multiples of 12 generations. So listen, got another caller in queue. Want to go to our callers, my man Rise, what say you? Go ahead, bro.
Hey, peace and greetings to you, Brother Dave. Peace to Brother Scotty. Peace to the callers and listeners. And Brother Jay from my hometown, BK. That's great. It was really great.
East New York?
Yeah, Brooklyn. Yeah, that's where I'm from, too. So, I mean, I don't live there now, but I travel to New York all the time. But my family's still there. But
That's home.
Absolutely, man. You know that. So what I was going to say was, what you were describing was, to me, it kind of reminded me of The Walking Dead, because you had like two types of people that you would come across on that program. It was either people who, like you said, who were prepared to take, and then you had people who wanted to build a better world. And the main characters went through both sides of that sort of equation at different times in their history throughout the, you know, the series or whatever. Mm-hmm. But it's really about taking a Ma'ashin approach in regards to how we deal with each other and respect each other. And one thing I wanted to personally say is just I wanted to thank you directly, because we talk to each other quite a bit off air, and that's one thing that I love about you, is that you always keep the focus on a balanced Ma'ashin center. When we talk off air, you do that, and I thank you, especially when I have my own little trials and tribulations, and you always talk to me in a way that brings my focus right back full circle towards where it's supposed to be. And those are the type of people you want to have around you, rather than people that encourage you to be the worst you can be. You want them to encourage you to be the best you that you can be. But then at the same time, you want to surround yourself with like-minded people that want to create a better world, not just do for themselves and themselves only. It was funny, I was recently watching interview with Cynthia McKinney, and I posted it on BTR Community like maybe 2 days ago or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And she was talking about how she had been facilitating something that she calls power cells. And this was basically taking different groups of people. She had basically talked about the fact that the government was all fake. And she gave an example of when she had to preside, one of the people who was presiding over a state legal matter. And they had like a high-ranking government official who was badgering this witness in the courtroom. And she said after the trial was over, the guy who was badgering the witness left the courtroom arm in arm with the witness, so that basically they were all buddies. It was all a show for the court.
Mm-hmm.
And in reality, they were in bed all along. And she said that was a life-altering experience for her, because she went into politics thinking that this was a legitimate endeavor and that she could actually foster change, until she saw that particular incident let her know that there were many others like that that she didn't get to pay attention to on the level that she should have, to see what it was. And, you know, she's talked about creating something called power cells, in which she takes people from supposedly different factions, left, right, Democrat, Republican, all this stuff, white, black, all of this stuff, and she puts them all in a room and have them basically have a conversation with each other till they come to a consensus about things they want to change. And she said when she's done that, she's done it already and she's continuing to do it across the country, that she's seen a transformation in the room where people who normally would be fighting each other, because she said that what you said, that's what the system has us doing. Like, you know, we take our sides and then we, you know, we grab our arms, whether verbal or actual arms, and we defend what we think is our position. And she said just to have them sit and talk to each other and be candid, you know, they'll have the moments where the conversation might get emotional, but they eventually come to a consensus about the things they want to see changed in their local community. And then they start working together towards that. Now, these are people who normally wouldn't speak to each other, wouldn't have contact with each other,
right.
And in some cases, we're not getting along. But when taking an approach where you deal with the local politics first and you get the people who live in that community who may not be bonded around the issues in the community to actually start speaking about those issues and coming to a consensus regardless of what ideology they walk into the room with, she was able mm-hmm. to see a transformative change in the way that they started functioning collectively. And that's a Ma'ashan approach. It's yeah. regardless of what position you take, what's for the greater good of everyone involved. And if you can get those type of people around, that's why I think even Brother Davis, when he talks about meditation, is very important. That's something that I've had to delve into quite deeply over the last few months, just due to some of the things that have been happening, you know, to me on a personal level. I just had to actually take stock of my own self and allow myself to not be, you know, knocked off my square by some nonsense that came from someplace else that really didn't have anything to do with me. It had to do with the other
right.
party, and they just had to work on their own stuff, but they project. And rather than absorbing right. that and giving it back to them, I just let it go. And you keep it moving and you focus on what's really important. So I just wanted to say that, and I say great show as always, and peace and love to you, and I'll just lay in the cut.
Raj, real quick, yeah. and then we got Jay back on. We'll go to you. Real quick, let me just say this. One of the things is that we've invested in each other. So you will always keep me where we've already committed to go. Regardless
Absolutely.
Of if I don't feel like it at that moment, it's not about our feelings. It's our constitution, and governments cannot exist without division.
Absolutely.
Because then, without division, governments can't exist. Because then, what you have is what? Collective prudence among the species. And what Cynthia is going through in her overall maturation is the same maturation that I had to go through, because I thought one thing as, you know, going into law enforcement and being a police officer in Los Angeles. Then when I got there, I said, oh, it wasn't, oh, shoot. It was, this ain't true. This is all flawed. This is, but while you're there, you realize that you can't quit until you fully invoke another energy source there. Because without your energy source, it really runs amok. And then at some time you say, enough, I need to move on. I need to move on. And what she's doing is actually what needs to be done everywhere. Because, listen, our lives are dictated. The quality and standard of our living is dictated by the quality and standard of living of everyone around us, not just the middle of the circus, the circle being you. It's the full degree of all around you. And so it was very, very important. And I applaud her for doing that, because that is changing the overall direction. That is doing something, not doing something that you've been taught to do, and actually not using the same energy and the same idea, thinking anew. That's critical. So real quick, Raj, Jay wanted to, but go ahead, and then I'll go to Jay. Go ahead,
Raj. Okay, I'll keep it short. I was just going to say, it's funny because we always talk about the Hegelian dialectic, and what I was thinking about is the fact that they create the circumstances under which the people are forced to believe that they need to be governed. When they govern you, it's a class system that goes into a pyramid structure with, of course, one or a few people at the top who are supposed to be the brains of the country running it for all the stupid people at the bottom who they teach are out of control and don't know how to govern themselves. So if we take that into our hands and do it for ourselves, we have no need for that. And at that point, they have no power at that point. So I would say everything you've been saying from day one is exactly correct. We just have to actually start to work towards executing it. With that, I'll meet myself and give Brother Jay a chance to speak. Thanks again. Peace and love, and I'll meet myself.
My brother, my brother. Much love, much respect. We're going to go back to Jay out of NYC. Hey. Jay, what's for you?
Peace. What's going on? Peace to Roz. I heard him a few times on the Cows, so I'm familiar with some of the things he was saying. And also, I watched exactly what he said. That Cynthia McKinney interview, very powerful. I think a lot of people should just watch it if you haven't heard or unaware of how corrupt our government is, and just her ideas and concepts on building those power cells, and the example that she gave from one of the events that she had when she did it. The other thing is, one thing that you mentioned, and it clicked immediately. One of my best friends, was his father was the head of a temple, and he told us back in the day that in World War II the Japanese were actually coming around and handing out flyers to certain temples to see who would start to side with them to destabilize America.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't realize that until you just mentioned it a few moments ago after I've asked you that question. That's exactly what occurred, you know. And his father, you know, being older, he experienced a lot of it, and being the head of the temple, he was just telling us that these things will happen maybe again or in another time, but I'm sure you're going to see something similar or hear about it again. You know, so that makes perfect sense, man.
Yeah, and you know, Jay, this is one of the reasons why they're going to have so many internment. Those Walmarts that they are putting the migrants from Mexico from, that's just the excuse to build more of them and to desensitize, because that's what they're going to be using to put everybody in, because that's what they're going to do, and that's the excuse that they're going to be using, and they got their provocateurs all ready to go, and this is how they manipulate the overall propaganda to their objectives by their methods. They always win. When you play by their rules, they always win. And one of the critical things about this is that one of the reasons why we can't play by their rules, if they say the old saying, if you can't beat them, join them. Well, let me just say something about that, can't beat them, join them. If you join them, they're going to kill you with experience. They've been doing this for a very long time, and they don't plan on ever giving it up until they are forced to relinquish it. Because there is no one upholding it anymore. So, much love, much respect to you all. Big ups to all of you. Just want to thank you, Jay, for calling in. Roz, for calling in. All of you in the chat room. And greatly appreciate you all. It's never goodbye. As always, we'll see you later. Much love, much respect. Before you ask for a fortune, make sure to give one away. Great Creator willing, we'll talk later. Peace.
Gold dinar would have had serious consequences for the world financial system, but may also have empowered the people of Africa, something black activists say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake.